Oh, my fabulous fempreneurs, I am so excited to have you join us today as we have a wonderful, enlightening interview with Miss Rosita Perez, a woman after my own heart, because she has a heart for midlife women who are on the journey of self-discovery. And we're going to learn more today about why that journey of self-discovery is key for women going into their midlife years. Welcome, welcome, Rosita.
Oh, Diva, thank you so much for having me here. I'm so excited to talk about this, and I'm just let's roll. Let's
Yeah, let's
help
get
other
into
women.
it. I mean, today I had to remember to press the record button because we were talking and we were just really like understanding the wavelength, you know, a similar wavelength of how self-discovery is so important. And let's talk about your journey for self-discovery. I'd also like to add that before we press the record button, I was speaking about, and I didn't finish, I was speaking about my heart goes out to multicultural women who have worked so hard in industry, and how I've worked with those women who didn't want to speak up because of accent, or they're just not confident in their English ability, and they had so many credentials and so many qualifications, and there they are in the boardroom, there they are leaders and heads of divisions and companies, but they still feel that lack of confidence or a little insecurity, and it happens to all of us. So tell me a little bit about your heart and how you got on this journey for helping women self-discover themselves.
Okay, first of all, that story just touched my heart because so many of us women, especially in midlife, are struggling because we are not sure of who we are. So we fall back into what we know. So what we know is a negative self-talk. What we know is the self-doubt. And the barriers, and there's a part of us that knows, logically we know, oh, we're the boss. Got it together. We know on paper, but we cannot present that confidence that we feel. So my heart goes out to women who are in the dark of understanding their beautiful self, like, we are all uniquely fashioned. We all have gifts that another woman may not have. So when we don't accept our own internal beauty, we cannot exude it externally.
Powerful.
So that's what self-discovery is all about.
Yes. And I'll tell you one of the things that is brilliant that I've noticed on this journey is that we are good at seeing that beauty in another woman. We can look at her and say, she's got it together. She has this going for her. I love her attitude, her smile, her warmth. I see all the good qualities in her. But to turn that around and see it in yourself, there's so much, I think, programming over the years, whether we are aware of it or not, that tells us you can't be too cocky, or you can't say positive things about yourself because it's not safe.
Or it's perceived
Yeah,
negatively.
it's perceived negatively. Yeah, you open yourself up to more attack. Yeah.
Yes. But when you know who you are, then
Mm.
that just blows off your shoulder.
Yeah.
And thank God that you have that mindset of, wow, that woman, I admire this, this, and this about her. Because some women will be haters.
Yes.
And we have enough going on, ladies. Let's band together versus fight each other. I mean, come on, let's celebrate each other because nobody's competing. We all look different. We all have different gifts. Just stay in your lane.
And to address that part about the haters, they've been programmed. They don't even know it. So I feel sympathy for them because they're like, oh, she doesn't look a certain way or talk a certain way. I'm going to just jump right in and say what I think everybody else is saying about her, and not take a moment to just say, hey, let's rejoice in her journey.
And you're right, that is generational. When you grow up in that kind of environment, even as a little girl, and you hear the gossiping about another woman, and as a little girl, you may be like, well, I think she's really pretty. But your older group of women in your family are talking horrible about her. So it's a mix. You get a mixed message as a little child. Then you grow up doing the same thing, right?
I mean, that's the training you've had. And so it takes a while to be able to come away from that. And then the self-love is when you start, as you said, when you start to start loving yourself. Then you can see more of that beauty in the other women and not be a hater. Tell me what brought you to this journey of self-discovery? What was your turning point?
Well, my turning point was I was in my second marriage, had been married 20 years, thought we were going to be together forever, started to unravel and ended up getting divorced, is the short story. I was completely lost because my identity was tied into my marriage. I'm a wife. I'm a mom. I'm, a stepmom. I'm a grandmother, all that stuff. So now I had to fall back and say, okay, well, who am I? And for me, I had done all the normal things we do to try to get over the pain, And this time around, I thought, nope, I'm going to have to dig my heels in and develop a stronger relationship with my faith, which is God. And that's when I started to really understand. I started to heal because it was, I think I was mid-50s when I was going through this. So it not only did I have to deal with the present, but I had to unpack the past. Because all the things that happened as childhood infected all my choices that I made in my adulthood.
And that is inspirational because when I think of all the women who never get to that point of realization that they are more than the roles that they take on. And they just go through life with this heavy burden, and then before you know it, life is over. But you at the, in the mid-50s came to this awakening point. That's so hopeful for all women that it's possible.
Yeah. And so as I'm going through my healing, and I had my faith, I used practical tools. I did the therapy, I did the coaching. I had a community of strong, faithful women who would help me along the path to not just help each other heal, but to feel that love that doesn't have to be earned by performance.
That's powerful. I just want to let that sink in. It doesn't have to be earned by performance. Tell me more about that. Let's unpack a little bit more about that. Not feeling that you have to earn love by performing or doing.
Okay, so I think when I first realized that was, I come from a huge family. So I'm on the younger end. And I would see my older siblings who didn't get good grades really get in trouble. So by the time I started going to school, I made sure that I got nothing less than a C. But something inside of me felt like I had to be the good girl. I had to be, perform well in school to be accepted and loved. And my parents did the best that they could with what they knew. I'm not blaming them at all. This is just a revelation of how it affected me. So that's when I started feeling like you can get love, but it's performance-based. Or even if you look a certain way, right? I grew up in the 70s, so you've got the Farrah Fawcett, the Raquel Welch, you've got all the Bombshells. And then the comparison started coming in. Well, I don't look like that. So I don't measure up. So I have to look like that so I can be loved.
That's huge. That's huge. Breaking that, I have to look like that so I can be love, bondage, so to speak, is quite a high level of self-discovery. Because the minute you turn on the television, radio, everything is programming the women that these are the people who are loved, and this is how they look. And we just finished the Christmas season where I get to the point of like I'm sick of it. Where the Farrah Fawcett gets her man kind of programming. And I was like, when did this become about, Christmas become about Valentine's Day? And because I'm a caregiver and my mom loves these programs. So spending time with her means I'm watching this, and it's just like, oh my goodness, not more of the same. But again, just now being, I just went 49 in the awareness of loving who I am as I am.
That's a huge point. Loving you as you are.
That it's okay to be nothing like the representation I see on television, because nobody is.
I mean, the women on the magazine covers don't even look like that.
Yes.
If I had a team of people doing my hair, my makeup, airbrushing me, I'd look just like them.
Yeah, it's true. When you see regular women in the street, they look like regular women.
Yes,
That's
they
who we
do.
are. And so this image, and as you and I both, we do podcast and we're getting on social media, and the social media channels are promoting a certain way of looking that's very popular. And I'm thinking, I am not going to be doing no dancing or no shaking of anything.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I thought, really, I gotta dance? I hung up those heels years ago.
Yes. So getting into a space And this is also another part of my journey of knowing that the information that I put when I highlight women like yourself who are coaches and healers and just phenomenal fempreneurs, that this information will get to the people that needs it, to the women and even men that need to hear how to self-love.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter if it gets 100, 1,000, 10,000 likes. If it changes one life, I'm on the right track.
Yes, we are just seed planters.
Yeah, planting that seed.
Yeah.
And so we also talked a little bit, we touched a little bit on getting out of the holiday funk.
Yes. That's a whole mindset shift, right? Especially if you're single and you don't have a significant other.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
It can
because
be
I was
challenging.
thinking, well, I didn't have to bake a turkey for, you know, dozens of guests or anything like that this year. So I'm one of the lucky ones. But yeah, being single during the holidays, it is different.
Yeah. But again, that's a mindset. For me, when I first was separated, I couldn't even, I have a group of people that I hang out with and they want us to do karaoke. I can't initially because it was too many love songs, too many. And I knew that I wasn't strong enough to deal with that. So I kind of politely let, you know, my folks know that I can't, probably for the next couple of years, I told them not be
Okay.
Talking about, I love you, I want to get back. I can't.
Yeah.
So I had to learn how to take care of me. And that was part of taking care of me.
That's very wise. And I've noticed in the years, as I get older, I don't listen to R&B anymore. So a lot of the famous R&B singers that people are talking about, and especially in Black culture, people are like, oh, this person released the album and this person is the hottest person. And it's, I don't know, because I, a long time ago, cut off anybody singing about my life is over because I'm not with him. That kind of, you know, see me, validate me, do you love me, are you with her? No.
Yeah, I've
cut that off years ago, so I totally understand where you didn't want to go to karaoke. But I'm laughing because in my head, karaoke is actually rock songs in different languages.
See, in my brother's household, it's all R&B,
okay,
70s, rock, you know, so it's a mixture.
Yeah.
And so he used to sing in a band years, way back when we were kids, and they do the stylistics, and so I love those songs, but I was not, I needed to heal that pain that I was going through.
Yes. And how did you get to the point of healing? You said you had some tips and some
Yes.
techniques.
So for me, what I had to do was be okay being alone. That was a huge, huge shift for me because I was always used to being with somebody. So when I'm alone, and I really had to trust God to rebuild me in a sense, to get back to the core of who I am. Which is a masterpiece. I'm a masterpiece. So I would do exercises, like one of them was looking in the mirror and saying, I love you. Like looking straight in your eyes and saying, I love you. And sometimes that is very difficult to do when you are heartbroken. So that's one exercise that I had to do. The other was just feeling whatever I was listening to or watching, that it be either a sermon or a topic that I was interested in that would help me to heal, and then start implementing some of those things.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah. Because it's not just, you could hear all day long, but if you're not taking the next step to implement, then you're going to stay stuck in that self-doubt cycle. And I had a community of women where we were going to a Bible study, and the topic was very, very painful because it was called Betrayal and Beyond. So, Odiva, there were easily 25 to 30 women there every Tuesday. And I looked around the room and I thought, wow, a lot of us are hurting. But I also was grateful that there was a place that we could go to support each other, to cry with each other, and just be that support that we needed.
Oh, I want to reiterate these three steps that you talked about for anyone listening. Number one, being okay with not being okay. Because this is it's there's so much, and I can go back to social media. There's so much showing of happiness and our good times and our great pictures and smiley things that we forget that as humans, we're going through a journey and life is going to do the up and downs. And people, if there's even a death or something traumatic happening in the family, people want you to just get over it, or they say things like cheer up. So we're not allowing ourselves to feel all the emotions. So that was the one step of wisdom that you gave. The second one was, and I really like this, feeding yourself. And that connects with my resolution for 2024, feeding yourself good food here, up here, where you need it most. So for you, it was sermons and just listening to things that fueled positivity in your life. That's great. And the third one, community, a supportive community.
Absolutely.
Wow, and the name of that group was?
The Bible study was called Betrayal and Beyond.
Wow. So just imagine so many women at the same point in time of their lives were going through that. And they created a safe place to for you to talk about that. And now on the other side of it, tell me more about that journey.
Oh, Diva, it has been a journey. And like you say, we're all human. It's not all butterflies and unicorns, right? There's going to be days when I said this to my brother the other day, that my name is Judy today. I got an attitudey. So, there's going to be days where I'm going to have attitude. It's sad. That's just our emotions that we go through as humans. Where I am today is through the healing, through deepening my faith, integrating my faith with practical tools. I now have this joy from within. like deep in my spirit. So it cannot be like I can't be pushed off of my rock of faith. You know how I can remember, let me speak for me. When somebody, I'm kind of shaky already because I'm not clear on who I am. I'm not confident in accepting of the person, the woman I am. So somebody would say a remark, I would take it so personal. And that would knock me off my rock. And then I get emotionally immobilized, right? Because, oh my God, they said this. I don't have that anymore. Now I'm like, oh, okay. Thanks for sharing your opinion. And I bring up that joy. Like, I am more than a conqueror. I am a masterpiece. And that person's opinion, how they're feeling, that is not my responsibility. And I welcome talking through it. Let's talk through whatever it is that is going on. But I no longer become the surgeon for their issues.
Yes. Other people's opinion of you has nothing to do with you. Beautiful.
That is so that joy, it might I might fall back sometimes, right? But I'm like, no, wait, hold on. No.
Nice. And so I tell younger women, let's say those that are in their 30s or 20s that might be listening to this, it's a new day because this wisdom was not passed on to our generation. But now they're quick learners. They can learn this now and they can come to the place where, you know what? I don't have to take on all these roles and responsibilities to be loved. And I don't have to take on other people's opinion of me to be confident in who I am.
Yes, we shape who we are. We
Yes.
shape, for me, my faith shapes who I am, and I stay constant to that. Because everybody's going to have a different opinion, right? I mean, I've heard people say, you either like me or you don't, and be okay with it. But for you, you're right, the younger women. No, don't necessarily have that benefit. Though I'll have to say, let me back up. I have to say, the plethora of information that is online, the awareness of self-care and all that,
Mental health, yes.
it's so much bigger than it ever has been. I think the baby boomers were the last generation, but from then on, I'm pretty sure
From
y'all have,
here
yeah,
on,
Google is at your fingertips.
better things to come, and you can find a lot of good knowledge to go into in Rosie's podcast. Let me see if I can remember the name. Home, finding home, is it?
Oh, it's actually a woman's strength, empowering journeys from struggle to triumph.
Okay. And before we close, tell me a little bit about finding home. What does
Okay.
that mean?
Okay. So I am a realtor as well. So I help people find their way home, whether it's a physical home or the core of who they are. So finding the core, finding your way home means that when you understand who you are and you have that joy from within and you're confident, truly confident, not mask confident, truly confident, then you feel settled, you feel safe, and that is home.
And that is my goal for all women, all generations. This is what we're about, finding your home in here. No one can take it away.
Nobody and nothing.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Rosie.
Thank you.
I'm nicknaming you Rosie.
I see that. I've gotten Rosetta, Rosarita.
You are a rose. Thank you again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.